things get a little bit grim. But this is especially heinous.
Did you tell the police that she was murdered, May?
Nope.
Witchy ghost stuff.
Ah!
That made me scared.
A spooky girl amateur hour.
Are you sure you're ready?
Born. The most ready.
All right. Then here we go.
Hi.
Hi, Taylor.
Hi, Jenny.
What is happening over there on your side of the big round table?
Not a lot. Just getting myself hyped up, ready to do a grab bag, because today is...
Grab bag day.
And it's election day. Let's all just say woo-saw.
Woo-saw.
We're going to hope and pray and do the good vibes and the good energy, and hopefully we can change the world today.
Yep. Hopefully you went and voted.
Let's do it.
We got this.
Are you voting early? Have you voted?
I'm voting tomorrow.
Okay. I think I'm going to go tomorrow. Might go Saturday? I don't know.
And it is not election day in real time.
No, it is not.
You are still able to early vote in real time.
Yes. Yes. So if you have not voted by the time that this comes out, I hope and pray you are standing in line with your earbuds in, ready to do the dang old thing.
Oh my God, what a fantastic way to wait in a 2-hour line.
With into like half an hour grab bag episode.
Yeah. And like you can listen to like last week's episode, which was true crime.
Yeah.
It was a good one. So if you haven't heard it already, go back and listen.
Wait, no, this comes out before true crime.
Go listen to paranormal.
Yep.
Also a good one.
Yeah, also great.
Also great.
Okay.
And then stay tuned for next week, because spoiler alert, it's true crime and it's a freaking good one. So many timelines to keep straight in my head. I don't even know what day it is, really.
It is a weird time continuum over here at A Little Bit Grim. We don't really know what's happening.
Welcome to the podcast where time's made up.
It doesn't matter.
Nothing matters.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
The only thing that matters is this grab bag episode.
Yeah.
Very excited. We have a listener story for you at the very end of the episode.
Yeah, so hang on.
Hang on. And I think it's Taylor's turn.
Yeah,
Taylor
goes first. Go first. I'm really excited.
I'll go first. I'm really excited.
You sound like Miss America.
I'm just very grateful to be here.
Thank you to my mom and dad for putting me in pageantry when I was 1.5.
Listen, my parents put me into pageantry when I was 1.5.
My mom judged pageants.
I can see judge. With her freaking Farrah Fawcett curls. I love it.
Yes, so I cannot hate on pageantry at all, 0%. All right. Scientists have discovered a brand new genus of dinosaur that they have named the Cryodraken.
Huh? Dragon?
Because it's a fucking dragon.
We got dragons, bro?
Yeah, dragon, bro.
Are you now? Okay.
Cryodraken boreas, or frozen dragon of the north. I'm not kidding.
That's cool.
The name of this dinosaur.
Oh, geeky. All right.
They made this discovery in Alberta, Canada last year.
Mm-hmm.
This flying creature was reptilian.
Reptilian?
Absolutely freaking not. I do not like flying snakes. Or lizards.
Is it a snake?
It's a dragon.
I already told you it's a dragon.
Jesus. Oh,
God. Okay. I'm stupid. I'm sorry. This freaking dragon from Alberta, Canada.
I do not like flying lizard boys. I said no thank you.
A little danger noodle of the sky.
A nope rope.
A no-
do not boop.
Otherwise you get the hurt juice.
That's my favorite. Okay. According to research published in the Journal of Vertebrate Paleontology, Cryodraken boreas had a wingspan of 10 meters, which I'm going to tell you is 32.8 feet.
What?
Nope.
That's... What?
That's too big.
I can't even, like, conceptualize 32 feet. That's a wingspan?
Yeah.
How big is its freaking body?
I mean, I'm 5'5".
Okay.
So
we have a point of reference.
So what is that? Put me like times 5?
I'm begging you.
6?
We've got to stop trying to fucking do math, bro.
I think it's me times 6. Ish. Heavy on the ish.
It's like more ish than times 6, but yes.
Between 5 and 6. Let's just call it 5 and 7.
Just round up, call it 10 Taylors. No larger than 10 Taylors.
10 Taylors on a cliff. Equals cryo dragon.
I want to fly on one. What an efficient way to travel.
Do you think?
Well, does it breathe fire?
No.
Oh, then yeah. You know how many people you could... You know how many people you can fit in this bad boy?
You're going to try to make me do math about it again.
Well, if it's 10 Taylors...
That's the only way we're going to measure things and now on.
In Taylors.
How many of me is it laying on the ground?
It's about 12 and a half gift wrapping paper tubes.
Why? Oh, okay. Okay. All right. So... it also weighed 250 kilograms, which is 550 pounds. When standing, the petrosaur, pterosaur, sorry, there's a P that's silent. It's like pterodactyl.
A pterodactyl.
I'm so sorry. It is estimated to have been the height of a giraffe.
What?
No.
Mm-mm. Oh, big boy.
I do not like it.
Can you imagine him pecking you?
I don't think that there's a pecking. I think it's just eating.
Chicken. Oh, what? Oh,
what? Was that a Tourette? Chicken.
I was going to tell you a joke, but I just said the punchline. It's Jeff.
It's not a joke, sir. Jeff. That's not how they work. You gotta tell us all the things.
I can't go back now.
Okay, alright. So we're just gonna go
and just keep on going talking about your dragon.
Alright, so this monster lived in what is now Western Canada about 76 million years ago.
Gosh dang.
I know. During what is known as the Cretaceous period.
Yes.
And they are related to the pterodactyl.
That is what most of the dinosaurs in Jurassic Park are from.
Not even the Jurassic Park period.
Not the Jurassic period.
That's easier to say.
Correct.
So that is
Cretaceous Park just doesn't have the same ring.
Right. So that's my first story. Just, a little light scientific discovery of giant creatures.
Well, freaking nice. Boy, am I glad there's a couple millennia separating us from that thing.
Absolutely.
Okay, so my first one comes... I have gotten so into Reddit in the past couple weeks.
Okay.
So mine is from a user called Search and Rescue Woods. It's his username on Reddit. And he is a search and rescue officer for the U.S. Forestry Service.
Ooh.
And he has some wild stories, but I just picked two. Shrimpy shorts. So, I was teamed up with another SAR officer because we've received reports of bears in the area. We were looking for a guy who hadn't come home from a climbing trip when he was supposed to, and we ended up having to do some serious climbing to get to where we figured he would be. We found him trapped in a small crevasse with a broken leg. It was not pleasant. He had been there for almost 2 days, and his leg was very obviously infected.
Oof.
We were able to get him into a chopper, and I heard from one of the EMTs that the guy was absolutely inconsolable. He kept talking about how he'd been doing fine, and when he'd gotten to the top, a man had been there. He said the guy had no climbing equipment, and he was wearing a parka and ski pants. He walked up to the guy, and when the guy turned around, he had no face. It was just blank, and the guy freaked out and ended up trying to get off the mountain too fast, which is why he had fallen. He said he could hear the guy all night climbing down the mountain and letting out these horrible muffled screams.
What?
The story bothered the hell out of me. I'm glad I wasn't there to hear it.
What?
Yeah.
Yikes. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Hold on. The second shrimpy. It's a two-parter.
I'm scared. Okay.
The last one I'll tell, and probably the weirdest story I have. Now, I don't know if this is true in every SAR unit, but in mine, it's sort of an unspoken regular thing we run into. You can try asking about it with other SAR officers, but even if they know what you're talking about, they won't say anything about it. We've been told not to talk about it by our superiors, and at this point, we've all gotten so used to it that it doesn't even seem weird anymore. on just about every case where we're really far into the wilderness, like I'm talking 30 or 40 miles, at some point we will find a staircase in the middle of the woods. It's almost like you took the stairs in your house, cut them out, and put them in a forest. I asked about it the first time I saw some, and the other officer just told me not to worry about it and that it was normal. Everyone said the same thing. I wanted to go check them out, but I was told very emphatically that I should never go near any of them. I just sort of ignore them now when I run into them because it happens so frequently.
I am so sorry. What?
Just forest stairs is all.
I am bothered.
I'm also embothered. How they get into the woods and why? And what do they go to?
Yeah, what do they go to?
That's and why can't we talk about them?
Don't like it.
Ookie spooky.
Secrets don't make friends.
No, nay, nay, nay. Tell me your secrets. I'm going to hold them in my heart until I die.
I am incapable. Don't tell me your secrets.
It brings me such gratification to keep people's secrets.
I can keep secrets if they're serious. If they're like super, super personal to somebody, I like take that shit to my grave. But if it's like, oh my God, I like kind of have a crush on this person that I work with, bitch, everybody knows.
Like, well, so I've already sorry. Called them and told
I've
them.
I've already told them.
Sorry, I'm texting them right now as you're talking to me. Sorry, what's up?
Cannot be trusted with trivial information. Especially the juicy kind.
Oh, hell no.
Okay. My second story. Okay, so this is a short little snippet story about recycling gone wrong. Police are investigating a condom factory
what?
In Vietnam that was found recycling used condoms.
Huh?
What? And repackaging them to sell no. them.
We just turned them inside out like old underwear?
About 320,000 condoms were found to be recycled. Following a tip from a local resident, inspectors raided the factory where they found thousands of used condoms being washed and repackaged.
Who brought their condoms back to the factory?
The owner of the factory, a 32-year-old woman, admitted to purchasing the used condoms from men in the area and then washing, reshaping, and repackaging them for sale.
What? What?
Yeah.
There are better ways to control overhead cost.
Condoms aren't that expensive to make.
No.
Most
no.
In my brief research into this, most condom factories make like 5 million a day.
What? Mm-hmm. I wonder how many people. I want to know
why aren't they free? If you can make 5,000 or 5 million of them a day.
Correct. I also want to know how many sex happens a day. Like, how many people are banging a day in the world?
I do not know the answer to that.
I don't even know how to go about finding the answer to that, but I would like to know how many condoms the world goes through in a day.
I feel like we could find that out.
You think?
We'll research it and get back to you.
Somebody else research it and get back to us.
Yeah.
my Google search history is weird enough as is.
I was like typing this in and I kept double checking to make sure I was on the right laptop. I was like, IT? No?
Okay. All better right, open
good.
That.
Good, I'm good, I'm good.
Incognito tab.
Condoms are considered medical supplies, so there are a lot of laws being broken here. Mm-hmm. The CDC said that reusing condoms can result in disease and or infections, and in short, they do not condone that behavior. I was
oh, come on.
We can get real bad with these sex puns very quickly.
We gotta stop. Just move it along.
I was unable to find the charges or sentencing related to this case, but...
Can you imagine Oops. Being the poor bastard who had to investigate that and be like, you got any used condoms here, ma'am?
The smell.
Oh! You didn't have to do that.
I know.
You didn't have to bring up the smell.
I know, but I just couldn't get it out of my head, so then you have to have it in your head, too.
Okay.
That's how this works. We're in this together.
I can't believe I have to live with this forever now.
All right.
Okay. My next one is fun. And I found it kind of by accident because we went... wedding dress?
Yeah.
Picking outing?
Shopping.
Thank you. The words. And I was like looking for black dresses. And I found I figured out a very like bizarre wedding thing that happens in the world. Okay. So this past April, a peculiar wedding ceremony took place at a cemetery in B'nai Brak, a city in Israel, just east of Tel Aviv. With government regulation prohibiting large gatherings in the wake of the coronavirus epidemic, the wedding was a small affair with only a few attendants huddled under a small black canopy called the chupa. I'm sorry if I butchered that. The groom was an orphan, and while the identity of the bride was not disclosed, she was probably an orphan herself. The two had never met before, never known each other. These essential strangers were the unwilling participants of a ritual known as, I'm so sorry, Shvartse Kasane, otherwise known as Black Wedding or a Plague Wedding. It's where two local Jewish communities forcibly marries off two of their most marginal residents of the town in an effort to ward off diseases. Different communities react differently when faced with a crisis like a pandemic. Some seek medical help, others solicit comfort and old superstitions. In old times, people believed that calamities and epidemics were the result of curses put on communities as divine punishment for not conforming to God's teachings. And somehow the blame invariably fell on women committing adultery and on homosexuals. During the 1863 to 1875 cholera pandemic that ravaged the world, a rabbi in Uman in central Ukraine declared that Jewish women wearing crinolines and earrings were to blame for the epidemic. Of course they are.
That makes sense.
Following the denouncement, many self-styled public health guardians began to attack women, ripping off their crinolines and beating them. So, in light of this extremism that happens in like times of pandemic, black weddings were a very benign and charitable initiative. The weddings were financed by the wealthy members of the community, and the and after the marriage, the community pledged to support the couple, and in return, they hoped the souls of the deceased would reward their efforts and intercede to block the evil decree. This is the reason why the weddings were held in the cemetery. Isn't that wild?
So they just thought that if they married off these two people and the rest of the town took care of them forever, that the disease would go away.
Yes.
I see.
That is exactly. It's how they dealt with the cholera outbreak. It's how they dealt with the Spanish flu. And this was the first plague wedding to happen in hundreds and hundreds of years.
Wow.
In Tel Aviv. This April.
When did that happen? April?
This April.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Pandemic.
Yeah, well, that's the whole point of it. Get married and get married in a pandemic in a cemetery, and it'll make the disease go away.
Hasn't worked.
No, they should try it again.
Yeah, let's do it again.
Yeah.
Do you want to offer your wedding up for this? You can get married in a cemetery.
I would love to.
Except you have to get married to a complete stranger.
Yeah, I'm not trying to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, I would still marry Ian, and I would love to marry Ian in a cemetery.
Yeah.
But he is a wholesome, not spooky boy.
Yeah. And also your mom would not be chill with it.
Oh my God. My mom would be like, Jennifer Jane. That's just not, we just can't be having that.
She was killing me at dress shopping. She was like, I want to see a feminine one.
Mom.
And I was like, your girl's wearing white. Hush.
This is the most we were getting out of her daughter. What more do you want, Jean?
The one she liked, you were like, I freaking hate it.
Oh my gosh. It's like boho rustic. I just can't. Listen, I want to like it. I want to enjoy the experience. I do. I want to be like everybody else at like a floofy dress. And like, I'm going to walk down a thing to like a dude. And I'm just like, can I wear leggings?
You can.
No, I cannot. Ian won't let me.
Aw, rats.
Just kidding. If I pushed it, he would let me. But my mom would not stand for
it. No, she would not. Absolutely.
So anyway, black weddings.
Interesting. Fascinating.
Isn't that wild? I just thought it was weird. Okay, your turn.
All right. Pierre David became the mayor of an eastern Belgian city in Verviers in 1880. At the time, Verviers was under French rule, and he served as mayor until 1808. And then in 1830, he served as mayor once again when Belgium became an independent country. And he served until the time of his death in 1839, and he was known for establishing the city's first fire brigade and opening up politics by allowing the residents to be present to watch city council debates.
Oh.
Wholesome boy. He died unexpectedly. One of my sources said that he fell from a building. Another said that he fell from his, like, barn.
Oh.
But at the end of the day, he fell. And the legend is that the councilman decided to keep his heart and placed it in a small box.
What?
When they built a fountain in his honor, it is said that the heart was placed under the fountain. This has been the urban legend in the town for nearly 200 years. Now, there are some documents that back this up, but overall, people just believe it to be legend.
Hmm.
Until...
Oh, God.
September of 2020.
No! No!
When the city decided to renovate the fountain and found a small zinc casket box.
No!
With the engraving. The heart of Pierre David was solemnly placed in this monument on June 25th, 1883.
They put old boy's heart in a box!
Yes, they did.
Heart-shaped box!
Yep. They found it. It's there.
Put that thing back where it came from, or so help me God.
We do not need this in 2020, the year of our Lord.
Put the hearts back.
The box is now on display.
No.
In the city's Museum of Fine Arts. And some would say that he really put his heart and soul into the city. It wasn't even a good pun.
It wasn't.
So that is my last story.
It's a very Edgar Allan Poe thing to do.
Yes.
Put dude's heart in a box.
Yeah.
In the box.
All the sources were like, yeah, I mean, we can't, like, it's the town legend.
I'm sure it is.
It's the thing. And then they were like,
oh no.
Oh shit, it's real. I could not.
Horrifying.
Yeah.
Okay, so last one is a little bit of a listener story.
Yeah.
Kind of. Okay. A half-hearted listener. It was verbally told to me.
Okay, and then you're recounting it.
And I am recounting it. Told by a team member at, like, my real life job, which I still have to pay my bills because we're, like, not a famous podcast. So I got his permission to tell it.
All right.
But he kindly asked me to omit specific details about himself and the family who currently lives here.
Oh, okay.
Because they still live there. They're still friends.
It's happening.
It's currently happening.
It's crappening.
The crappening. Release the crappin. Okay. Okay. So there is a 11-bedroom historic farmhouse on the north side of Chicago. Ooh. A rich man built the home for his family in the 1800s, as is the story with all haunted mansions. And one night in the middle of a bitter cold Chicago winter, the parents were enjoying a night on the town by themselves. And they left all of their children, there were like 5 or 6 kids that they had, left them all at home while they went out on the town for like an evening.
Okay.
They were being babysat. They had an older kid. So the older kid was like watching.
The bane of all of us older children everywhere.
Correct. Being babysat. But the parents on their way back were in a terrible accident.
Oh.
And they were rushed into emergency medical care, which they eventually died. But that is not before tragedy befell the rest of the family, because the house was kind of rural back then, so on the north side of Chicago, and the parents weren't identified for a little while.
Oh.
When they were in the hospital. The children were left unattended except for the older kids, but they all ran out of firewood and every single child froze to death in the home.
What?
There was like just no adults. They didn't know who it was. They didn't know they had to go check on kids. Like they didn't. Nobody knew. So the kids just sat there waiting for mom and dad to come home.
And they never did.
Never did.
Oh, that's horrible.
It's big gross. So after that, the mansion was converted into a mink farm.
A what? A mink farm?
Mink farm, like for coats. I know it's okay. Problematic, but like that's history. And we like, let's just all agree to make better choices moving forward.
Sure, sure.
A farmer and his family lived there with about 5,000 minks. They lived regular lives and died in regular ways, and their home and farm was their whole life, and they cherished it.
Okay.
Like, they were not bad people. They were just people living their life on their mink farm, just making a living, enjoying their house.
Got it.
between the farmers and the current owners, there are lots and lots of rumors about what happened in the house. The top floor of it, the third floor, is a giant wood floor open space that used to serve as a dance hall for a tavern down the street. Al Capone is said to have run some of his bootleg whiskey business.
Ooh.
Out of the basement,
which is pretty believable considering the machine gun bullet holes that are still in the concrete walls in the basement.
I love that.
Mm-hmm. The guy who told me this, who's friends with the current owner, went down into the basement after hearing this story and like saw all the bullet holes in the wall. Okay, so the current owners have a myriad of experiences and the reason for the secrecy, which I totally understand. They don't want attention. They don't want hype. They would just like generally prefer to like ignore
everything
that is happening, like the footsteps, the opening doors, the knocking and the shadows and the apparitions are really like a daily standard here. Like you're just living in your giant house and there's always some kind of like ooky spooky shit going on somewhere.
There's always a commotion.
Never a moment's peace here in this mansion. So remember the third floor ballroom?
Yeah.
The current residents use that as their kids' playroom because they have a bunch of kids too. They have, I think he said like four kids as well.
That is a giant house.
It's 11 bedrooms. It's huge and beautiful.
Okay.
So every night the parents go in, they straighten it up, they push all of the play packs and toys and like shit to the walls. You know what I mean? As you clean up a kid's playroom, but like you can walk out and 20 minutes later, come back into the room and everything is a mess
again. Well, yeah, a bunch of dang old kids died there. They're trying to play.
That is correct. Yes.
Wholesome.
I know. They just want to play with all their toys that they never got to.
Because they died and froze to death.
It was just so sad.
That's horrible.
Also at 3 p.m. on the dot, every single afternoon, the screen door in the kitchen will open and slam shut every day. Same time. Every day. And the family believes that it is the farmer coming in from the barn for his dinner meal. Isn't that cute?
That is cute.
A little less wholesome.
Oh.
He, the owner, and his family have tried to sell the house like multiple times.
Okay.
But every time he like lists the house or they start like making like renovations or something to the house, he has an entity who will wake him up in his sleep and then hold him down by his throat.
Oh my God.
And choke him. So like he, according to my work pal, has tried to list the house like a bunch of separate times and cannot.
They're being held there.
They are being held there.
Literally.
Physically, yes. Being held into this house. And then there was one more incident. The resident came home and found a whole squadron of police and paramedics on his street. Light sirens, the whole thing. There was a young kid who was about 20 or so who was very distraught. He had been driving down the road when his vehicle struck an older gentleman. The kid was stone sober and incredibly upset, and the authorities searched the whole block everywhere. Cadaver dogs, everything. They never found a body. There was no evidence that any accident occurred other than the boy who was like still deeply in shock and convinced.
Concerned.
Like yelling. He's like, I hit somebody.
What a wholesome little schnoogle.
Just doing the right thing. He described the gentleman that he hit to the homeowner, and it was the farmer.
Wow.
To a T.
But they lived regular old lives. They didn't die there. Or they didn't...
They died there, but they weren't, like, malicious or anything. Okay. They were just, like, there.
They just died of, like, old age, natural causes. Yeah,
in the house, around the house.
Listen, I had somebody die of natural causes in my old house, and... She was still there, mm-hmm. for sure.
I think when, like, you're so attached to a place or, like, you spend so much time, like, making it your home and, like, raising a family mm-hmm. and blah, blah, blah. You just, like, become, like, tied to it. So, that is a listener story. If you have a listener story, please email it to us. DM it to us on Instagram, Facebook. You can now DM us on Twitter.
Woohoo!
Woo! A little bit grim, too.
Yes.
On Twitter, a little bit grim pod on Insta, Facebook group, a little bit grim, a little bit grim at gmail.com. Is that all the social media?
I think that's it. But yeah, Jenny got our Twitter back up. It's running. It's here. It's here to stay.
I wouldn't say we got our Twitter back up.
That's true. We got a new one.
We have a new Twitter.
So if you liked if you followed us on the old Twitter, a little bit grim one, just go ahead and leave that guy right there and then go follow us on a little bit grim two.
A little bit grim dose. A little bit more grim.
Oh, that would have been
a little bit grimmer.
Why didn't we think of that? We
should have.
Damn it.
Anyway.
All right. Well, I hope you have a wonderful day and thanks for joining us and we will see you soon.
Be kind. Go vote.
Yes. Fingers crossed.
Goodbye.